Today's share in the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Erev and Daf Yud Gimel. We begin on the very last line of Yud Beis Amud Beis, quoting the Mishnah where we said, Mishum Rabbi Yishmol, Amar Tamar Echa B'chule. We've already had this discussion several times, and today we're going to look at it from a different point of view. We have the Shita of the Talmud of Rabbi Yishmol, who we'll see is Rav Meir, and his Shita is that Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel did not argue when it was a malvoid that had an opening that was less than 4 amos, and the opinion of Rabbi Akiva was no, that Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel argued even when it was less than 4 amos. Beis Shammai saying you require a lechi and a korah, and Beis Hillel saying you only require a lechi or a korah. And as we turn to the Yom Aleph, that's what's quoted from the Mishnah, Rabbi Akiva Omer Alzeh V'Alzeh Nechukul V'chule, that they argue on even less than 4 amos. So the Gemara says, there's also a Tanakama, and he says the same thing as Rabbi Akiva. So Rabbi Akiva, Hainu Tanakama, why is this considered like a new Shita? That was actually the opinion of the Tanakama, which was responded to by this Talmud, Rabbi Meir, as we'll see, in the name of Rabbi Yishmol. So what is the difference between Rabbi Akiva and the Tanakama? So Gemara says, there is a difference. Ika Benayu, the Rav Achloi, Vitema, Rav Yechiel. Though, we have the other Shita, either said over in the name of Rav Achloi or in the name of Rabbi Yechiel, that said, granted, less than 4 amos, that's according to this Talmud, where there was a machlokas, but how small did it have to be for there still to be a machlokas? And Rav Achloi or Rav Yechiel said that if you're less than 4 tfachim, if you're less than 4 tfachim, then you don't need anything. And we had discussed this and explained this in yesterday's shiur. But that was the statement that we said was a machlokas tanoim. One of the answers that we gave was that not everybody agreed with Rav Achloi or Rav Yechiel. And that's what the Gemara here says. That's the difference between the Tanakama and Rabbi Akiva. That one of them holds from the sheet of Rav Achloi and Rav Yechiel that less than 4 tfachim, you do not need anything. And lo misaimi. And the other one, that doesn't tell us which one, doesn't agree with it. So this is the difference between the Tanakama and Rabbi Akiva. One of them, we don't know who, says even less than 4 tfachim requires, according to Beis Shammai, a lechi and the korah, and according to Beis Hillel, a lechi or a korah. And the other opinion says, no, less than 4 tfachim doesn't require anything. Now Gemara says, Tanya, we learned in another Braisa, on Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva says, Lo Amar Rabbi Yishmol Dorzeh. Rabbi Yishmol never made such a statement. There's no way that Rabbi Yishmol could have made such a statement. Rashi says, Murzach and Ibo. Rabbi Akiva says, according to Rashi, that Rabbi Yishmol is known, very well known to Rabbi Akiva, Shu Chacham, he's a huge Talmud Chacham. Ome Olam Lo Amar Dorzeh. There's no way he could have said that they don't argue, Beisham and Bissel, less than 4 tvachim. Ella. He says, Rabbi Akiva says, also Talmud Amar Dorzeh. This Talmud of Rabbi Yishmol said it, and Valacha Kiyosu Talmud. And we, in fact, paskin like this Talmud. Gemara says, really? That doesn't sound like it's a correct statement. Rabbi Akiva is saying that Rabbi Yishmol didn't say it, and yet we paskin like this Talmud. Hagufakashi, Gemara says, it's mutually contradictory. Amis, first you say, Lo Amar Rabbi Yishmol Dorzeh. You say, there's no way Rabbi Yishmol said it. In other words, you're dismissing this Shita because it's not really ascribed to Rabbi Yishmol. Alma less hilchos or kavasi. It implies that you're dismissing it and that we don't follow that lalacha. And then you say v'hadur amris halacha goes to Talmud. Then you're saying that we follow this Talmud. It's again very strange and unlikely that Rabbi Akiva said both of these things. So I reviewed Amar Shmuel. So review this in the name of Shmuel. No, you're right. Lo amor Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva didn't say this. Elo lechadid bo ha-talmidim, to sharpen the students. Now Tosus points out over here in the third Tosus of Dibur Masel lechadid bo ha-talmidim, that normally when we use this expression lechadid bo ha-talmidim, it means that we're just trying to sharpen their minds and that we're trying to get them to think and say, hey, that's not right. But here Tosus says ein lefarish kamo b'shar duch. They don't explain this like we do every place else. Leida im yadu lahashiv al dvarav, to see if they were listening and to say, hey, that doesn't make sense what you just said, Rabbi. That's normally the idea of lechadid bo ha-talmidim, because the ach miach sh'amar shalom Rabbi Yishmol Dorzeh. Because here that wouldn't be much of a sharpening when he says Rabbi Yishmol never said that. And then if he says that loch is like that, so it doesn't take a genius to figure out that there's a mutual contradiction over here. So may olam hayudaldim shlo omar. So in this situation, the people, the students that were listening to Rabbi Akiva, knew that there was something more over here. Ella, Tosus says kiim l'shavcho, and that's what Rashi explains. Tosus is getting around to saying, do we pass it over here like Rashi? And that is, Rashi says she he gave him she simu libam litorah. He did this to sharpen the Talmud to see that, wow, look at this pshat that this Talmud came up with and how smart it was. V'yomru pilpul mi libam. And therefore, they should go and think. If you think hard enough about Torah, if you really put your mind to it, you could come up with a great pshat also. And therefore, lefikach shibchu bifneim. He was praising this Talmud for coming up with this. And in fact, he says that we paskin like this Talmud. That's what Rabbi Yehuda Mishmuel says Rabbi Kiva's purpose was over here, to say, well, this wasn't from the Rabbi, Rabbi Shmuel. It was from a Talmud, and yet this Talmud came up with such a beautiful pshat. You guys can do the same thing. If you put your mind and effort into learning Torah, then you'll come up with great pshatim as well. That was the purpose of Rabbi Kiva saying this. Nuda Gemara says, you still have a contradiction over here. He seems to say that it wasn't from Rabbi Shmuel, so we don't paskin like it. And then he says that we do paskin like it. So Rabbi Nachman Yitzchak gives the following answer. Rabbi Nachman Yitzchak, Omar, Nirin Itmar. You know what Rabbi Kiva says? Nirin Divrei Yosef Talmud. Oh, but this Talmud said makes a lot of sense. Nope, it's not how we paskin, but this Talmud made a very good pshat. Amar Rabbi Shimon Levi. Rabbi Shimon Levi adds, Kol Mokom Sha'at Motzi Mishum Rabbi Shmuel Amar Talmud Echad Lifnei Rabbi Akiva. Wherever you find in Shas or in any source that we find a certain Talmud said in the name of Rabbi Shmuel something, and he said this in front of Rabbi Akiva, you know who that Talmud is? Eino Ella Rab Meir. This is the great Tana Rab Meir. Stam Mishnah Rab Meir. This is the famous Talmud of both Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Meir. Our great Rabbi Meir. And Shishimesh is Rabbi Shmuel, yes, Rabbi Akiva. He was first Mishamesh. Mishamesh is a better term than saying is a Talmud. Shimush is something that's very, very important. If a person really wants to be a Talmud Muvok of a Rebbe, he has to not only listen to the Rebbe in Shia, but he has to follow the Rebbe around. He has to see what the Rebbe does, halacha l'mais, in practice, to see their conduct. Throughout Shas, we have a great Talmidim following the Rebbe around and saying, Torihi, Yitzrach Nilumot. I have to see and watch the Rebbe, what he's doing, in order that I can really understand the Rebbe's shittas, not only in theory in the base medrash, but in practice. I say over a very famous story, I've mentioned this many times, I think it's a phenomenal story, that somebody once saw Rav Moshe Feinstein's Zatzal, the great posek gadol in the world, in America. He passed away in Nebuchadnezzar over 30 years ago already. But I remember growing up, Rav Moshe was the gadol hador, the acclaimed gadol hador. And the word came out, Rav Moshe said that the glue on the back of the postage stamps is treif. And you can't lick a postage stamp. In those days, they didn't have the automatic sticky postage stamps. The young people today won't know what I'm talking about, because all the stamps today have the adhesive on the back. You just pull off the strip and you put the stamp down and it sticks automatically. We used to lick the stamps when we were growing up. In any event, so it came out, the Moshe said that the stamps, the glue, was treif. And why was this based upon? Because somebody said, I saw Rav Moshe take a wet sponge and wet the stamp and then put it on. So it must be that he didn't want to lick the stamp. No. So they asked Rav Moshe Feinstein, Zatzal, why did he do this? And he says, I don't like the taste of the stamp, so therefore I wet it and put it on. So that's called shimush. If you don't really follow a Rebbe and question everything the Rebbe does, you're going to end up coming up with ridiculous things. They say, the postage stamp glue is treif, when that wasn't the reason. So that's why we use this lashon over here of mishamesh. He first was mishamesh by Rabbi Shmuel, and then later he became a Talmud Muvok. He was Mishamish Rabbi Akiva. He was one of the five great Talmidim of Rabbi Akiva. And again, whenever we have a Stam Mishnah, that they're all from Rabbi Akiva, and the Stam Mishnais are stated over from the name of Rabbi Meir, who learned from Rabbi Akiva. In any event, the Gemara says, the Tanya, I'll show you that Rabbi Meir is this Talmud. He learned by both Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva. So Amar Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Meir said, Kisha Yisi, it's a Rabbi Shmuel. He would say, when in this following Brisa, he said that when I was learning by Rabbi Shmuel, I would put this ingredient called kankantum. Rashi gives us a foreign language word for it. It is a certain type of addition to the dye, to the ink that they were using, that would make the dye much more difficult to be erased. And therefore, the ink was a permanent marker as opposed to something that could be erased. It would be like putting down a pencil, which you can erase with a pencil eraser, and ink, which doesn't really come off with a pencil eraser. So he added this kankantum to make the ink permanent onto the scroll. So when he would write his Sefer Torah, Rebbeinu, as we'll see, was a sofer. So Hayisi Meitil Kankantum L'Sochadio. He told Rabbi Shmuel that I used to put this additional kankantum into the ink. And when I was Rabbi Shmuel, he never said boo about this. In other words, he felt that this was halachically acceptable. However, Kishabasi answered Rabbi Akiva, when I went to learn by Rabbi Akiva, so you see that he was first a Talmud by Rabbi Shmuel, then he went to learn by Rabbi Akiva, so Rabbi Akiva said, Asoro alai. He said, no, you're not allowed to do this. You can't add kankantum. A Sefer Torah has to be able to be erased in order for it to be good. It has to be a strong type of an ink, but it has to be the type of an ink that can be erased, as we'll see in the Gemara in a few moments. Gemara says, really, Eni, that he first learned by Rabbi Shmuel, and then he learned by Rabbi Akiva? But Rabbi Yehuda said in the name of Shmuel, who said in the name of Rabbi Meir. Now, it says over here, notice it says, Rabbi Yehuda said it, Omar Shmuel, and then it says, Mishum Rabbi Meir, and that's because whenever we have the word Mishum, it means he didn't hear it directly. There were other people in between in the chain of this Mesorah, and we just don't know who they are. So that's why it says Mishum. He said it over in the name of Rabbi Meir, as opposed to he heard it himself from Rabbi Meir, because Rabbi Meir was at least two generations away from Shmuel, and Mistama Shmuel didn't hear it directly from Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir was the Talmud of Rabbi Akiva, and Rabbi Meir, as we'll see, his generation afterwards was the generation of Rabbi Yehuda Nasi, and Shmuel was a generation removed from that. Shmuel's father, Avud, Shmuel and Levi, they were like Talmidim and contemporaries of Rav Chiya, who was the Talmud Muvok of Rabbi. So this is, again, unlikely that Shmuel actually heard this directly from Rav Meir. That's why it says Mishum Rav Meir. In any event, he said as follows, Kishayisi lo meitel Rabbi Akiva, Rav Meir said, when I was a Talmud, seemingly first by Rabbi Akiva, Hayisi meitel kankantum usoch dio, I put this special ingredient, this kankantum, to make the ink more permanent, and I added this to the ink when I was writing a Sefer Torah. However, Rabbi Akiva didn't say, "Bo." He said, that's perfectly fine. However, later on, Kishabasi etzel Rabbi Shmuel, when I later on became a Talmud of Rabbi Shmuel, Amali Rabbi Shmuel told me the following story. Bini, mamalachtecha, nu, my son, what is your profession? What do you do for a living? Amarti lo. So I told Rabbi Shmuel, this is Rabbi Meir talking, lav lor ani, I'm a sofer. I'm a person who writes Sifrei Torah. So that's what I do. So Rabbi Shmuel responded to him, and he said, ooh, Omer li, bini. Rabbi Shmuel said, my son, he said to Rabbi Meir, have zor b'malachto, you have to be very, very careful with writing Sifrei Torah. Why? Shemalachtecha melechas shamayimi, because your work is holy work. It is extremely important that you do everything correctly. Why is that? Shema tomachaser osachas o miyater osachas. Because if you write one extra letter, or you delete one letter by accident, nebuch nimtzei sa machriv es kola olam kulav. You can chaser shalom, destroy the whole world. Rashi explains over here, if you machaser osachas, for example, Rachmon al-Lisan, if you wrote, instead of Hashem Elohim emes, right, the famous pasuk, which we say, that's why we connect the word emes, which is not part of the Shema, to the end of the Shema. So we have this pasuk from Yirmiyahu, where if you say, in writing this pasuk of Hashem Elohim Emes, if you instead leave out the Aleph, Rachmon Lutzan, and Mechasa Aleph, you're writing the greatest blasphemy in the world. I don't even want to say it. Hashem Elohim, and then you'd say the word instead of Emes, you say Meis. It's Rachmon Lutzan saying that Kosh Baruch Hu dies. Or if you add an extra letter instead of saying Vayidabru Hashem, and you add an extra vav and you say Vayidabru, that implies Rachmon Lutzan that there's more than one HaKodesh Baruch Hu, that Hashem's not Echad, that there's this duality, there's this trinity, that there's this combination Rachmon Lutzan. So by writing one extra letter, the vav over here in Vayidabru, to make an extra vav, or to take away the aleph from emes, you could destroy the world. You could do terrible, terrible things. So he told me, be very, very careful. You're writing holy Sifrei Torah. You're doing holy work. You have to be very, very careful. So Rabbi Akiva responds and he says, Rabbi, Amarti lo, Rabbi is talking over here, and he says back to his Rabbi, Rabbi Shmuel, Dover echod yeshli, I have this one special ingredient, the kankantum shmo, and this is known as kankantum, shani meitil l'sol chadyo, that I put into this ink so that I don't have to worry about, as we'll see, a letter getting erased. So Gemara says, Amali, Rabbi Shmuel said back to Rabbi Meir, again, this is Rabbi Meir talking, so that's why it's in the first person over here, Amali, he says back to me, V'chi metilin kankantum l'soch dio. So here we see that Rabbi Shmuel wasn't happy about putting in the kankantum into the dough. He said, are you allowed to do this? Because the pasuk says, V'lo Amra Torah, the Torah tells us in regards to a sota, it tells us the deed in there, it says, V'kosav, you have to write the parish of sota, and then it says, Umacha, and you have to go and erase the parish of sota. So if you're going to put this into the ink, that you're writing Sefer Torah, how are you going to be able to erase it? The putting in this kankantum is going to make it unerasable, and therefore you're going to have a problem. So it has to be the type of writing that could be erased. So adding the kankantum is wrong. So this is the second version that we had. He first learned by Rabbi Akiva, who had no problem with the kankantum, and then he went to Rabbi Shmuel, who questioned the usage of the kankantum. So we have a steer over here. Gemara says, first of all, to explain this second story, it's a little bit incomplete. I already filled in some of the details. So the Gemara asks on the second brisa we just wrote down, my karmelei or my kumahadalei. What was the problem that Rabbi Shmuel said to him about the yeseros and the chaseros, the extra letter or the lack of a letter? And what did he question over here? It says, by sota, that it has to be erasable, and yours by any of the kakantum is not. So, my kamalei or my kamalei? What was the question that Rabbi Shmuel said to Rabbi Meir, and what did Rabbi Meir respond? Shmuel says, "Hochi kamalei." This is how you understand the brayis. So I already again explained some of this. Lo mi boi bechaseros v'yaseros delo toina. Rabbi Meir was responding to Rabbi Shmuel and said, "Listen, Rabbi doesn't have to be concerned that I'm going to make mistakes by not writing a letter or by writing an extra letter. I'm not going to make those mistakes. The low tina, I'm very careful about that. The Rebbe doesn't have to worry about that. The buck, you know, I'm a professional. I'm an expert. And if I'm careful, I know I'm careful. So therefore, I'm not concerned about intentionally making a mistake. But even an unintentional mistake, el afilu mechash lizvov nami, I'm even concerned that a fly could come along while I'm writing the Sefer Torah, and the ink is still wet, and the fly is going to come and alight down on one of the letters, and it will, when it picks its feet up and flies away, it's going to pull away the ink, and the letter will become a chaser, the word will become chaser by missing that letter. So I'm even concerned about that, never mind me making a mistake, I'm even concerned that something that is unintentional could happen. It's going to sit on the letter dalet, and it's going to remove the right-hand part of the dalet that makes it on the top, the little tag that makes it into a dalet, and instead it's going to turn it into a resh, umachikle, umashvil el resh, and it's going to turn it into a resh. So I'm even careful about that. Therefore, I put in this kankantum, dofer echad yeshli, the kankantum shmosh, and imatel sochad yo. I put this in so a fly can't come along and erase it. It's interesting. On the slide it's brought down, and the name of the Tosos Yishanim, that it's not exactly an erasure that he's concerned about, but it's actually talking about that somehow the Tosfos Yishanim says that the flies are going to be they're going to be repelled over here by this kankantum, and they're not going to alight down on top of the letters because the kankantum is like an insect repellent. Okay, in any event, that's what Rav Meir responded to Rabbi Shmuel's question about chaseros and yiseros. Bottom line is, we have these two brises that seem to be absolutely contradictory. The first one says that he learned first by Rabbi Shmuel and then went to Rabbi Akiva. The second one said he first learned by Rabbi Akiva and then went to Rabbi Shmuel. And we seem to have a different attribution, that the first brisa, Rabbi Akiva was the one that was bothered by the kankantum, and Rabbi Shmuel said it was okay. And the second brisa, it said that Rabbi Shmuel was bothered by the kankantum, and Rabbi Akiva said it was okay. So that's what the Gemara says now. Kash Shishimo Shishimosh. We have the question over here, who was his Rebbe first, Rabbi Shmuel or Rabbi Akiva? And then Kasha Asara Asara. In one situation, Rabbi Akiva said it was okay to use the kankantum. The other situation, Rabbi Akiva said it wasn't okay, and vice versa. One situation, Rabbi Shmuel said it was okay, and then he said it wasn't okay. So the Gemara says that's reconcilable. Bishlomo Shimo Shashimosh Lo Kasha. There is no problem in the having which Rebbe first, because it actually was, he first learned, as we'll see, by Rabbi Akiva. Then he went to Rabbi Shmuel, and then he went back to Rabbi Akiva. What is that? First, Rabbi Meir started off as a Talmud, learning by Rabbi Akiva. However, he wasn't fully capable of understanding Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva was so deep. Rabbi Akiva was so smart. Rashi says, Rabbi Akiva, hayo charif tuva. He was so sharp. Rav Meir couldn't always figure out what Rabbi Akiva was saying. He was so sharp. Therefore, he first had to go learn Kol Torah Kula by Rabbi Shmuel. So also, Kaim Rabbi Shmuel, the Gomar Gemara. He first had to have a sound foundation in all of Shas. So he first learned all of Shas. He learned everything there was to know, the facts. He learned them from Rabbi Shmuel. And then, once he knew all the facts, v'hadar also l'kameh, he returned to go in front of Rabbi Akiva, l'kameh to Rabbi Akiva, v'sovar svara, and now he could go and learn and contrast this price against that price, and this statement against that statement, this pasuk against that pasuk, because he now knew everything. He knew all the psukim, he knew everything that one needed to know, and now he could start really analyzing it. So that was the difference. He couldn't understand everything Rabbi Akiva said, because he didn't have the background. So he first went to Rabbi Shmuel to learn the background, and then he went to Rabbi Akiva. So there's no problem. He first learned by Rabbi Akiva for a short period of time. Then went to Rabbi Shmuel, and then he went back to Rabbi Akiva. So there's no problem in the order as to which Rebbe he went to first. It was really Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Shmuel, and then Rabbi Akiva again. So that's easily reconcilable. However, the other part, that one place Rabbi Akiva was the Mako, one place Rabbi Akiva was the Machmir, one place Rabbi Shmuel was the Mako, one place Rabbi Shmuel was the Machmir, on the same din, so the kankantum, was it good or not? El Asar, Asar, Kasha, that we don't have a way to reconcile. Gemara says, you're right, Kasha. The Rabbi Lezer Horowitz in the back of the Gemaras, he says that no, since the Gemara is now going to give us a reconciliation, that you could have a machlokis over here, and it's totally on this machlokis, so that's why it doesn't say tiyufta. Okay, Gemara says, Tanya, Yehuda Omer, Yehuda says the following, Rabbi Yehuda said that Rav Meir used to say, you're always allowed to add this ingredient, this kankantum, which makes the ink more permanent, with the exception in the Sefer Torah, chutz mi parasha sota. You're not allowed to add it into the parasha of sota. Why is that? Because the parasha of sota has to be erased. And you could, according to this opinion, take a regular Sefer Torah that was already written and erase that regular Sefer Torah. So you always have to be repaired. So every regular Sefer Torah has to have at least the parasha of sota able to be erased. Whereas Rabbi Yaakov, and this is what Elazar Moshe Harwood says in the back of the Gemara, this machlokis, so that could answer up the Isra question. That's why it didn't say Tiyotta, it says Kasha. So this machlokis over here, Rabbi Yaakov says, no. Omer Mishum, Mishmo, he says, in the name of Rav Meir, Rabbi, the first one was Rabbi Yehuda in the name of Rav Meir. Now this is Rabbi Yaakov in the name of Rav Meir. Chutz mi parasha sota shel mikdash. No, the only time you can't add the kankantom is when you're writing the parasha of sota in the base of mikdash to actually give it to a sota. You're not taking a sefer Torah, but in a sefer Torah, it's never a problem. Even writing the parasha of sota with this indelible ink, because you're not allowed to use a sefer Torah. You have to, as we'll see, have a separate parasha specifically being written for the sota in order for it to be able to be used. And we'll flesh this out a little bit more in a moment. As the Gemara says, "My Benayu." What is the difference between this opinion of Yehuda in the name of Rav Meir versus Rav Yaakov in the name of Rav Meir? So the Gemara says as follows. Rav Yirmi explains as follows. Limchok lo min haTorah ikrenayu. What they're arguing about is, can you take a regular Sefer Torah and use an already written Sefer Torah that wasn't written for the purposes of a sota, but can you take this parsha in the Sefer Torah of sota, parshas noso, and go and take this parsha and erase it from a Sefer Torah and use it to give, to make the mei hamorim, to go and give this to the woman to drink to determine whether she was a sota or whether she wasn't a sota. So the first opinion, Rabbi Yehuda, says that you're allowed to take a regular Sefer Torah, and therefore you have to be very, very careful that the regular Sefer Torah should be able to be erased. Whereas the opinion of Yaakov is, you're not allowed to take a regular Sefer Torah, therefore there's no problem in using the kankantom in that. So this actually reconciles why one opinion says that it was Osir, and one opinion says it's Mutter, because they're talking this machlokis about whether you can use a Sefer Torah. And this machlokis between Rav Yaakov and Rav Yehuda, in the opinion of Rav Meir, is actually a machlokis that we have in other Tanoim as well. The Tanya, there it says in the Braisa, Ein Megillah Sukasheru La'ashus Basota Cheres. When you write the Megillah Sota, when you're writing the Parish of Sota and then erasing it, so the first opinion in this Braisa says that you're not allowed to use it with somebody else. Let's say the Sota decides that she doesn't want to drink. She admits she's guilty, or she just refuses to drink. So we don't take the parasha and erase it. Again, there are parameters to this when it's no longer able to say that she can't drink, and we force her to drink. But if she always admits that she was guilty, then we never make her drink. So let's say this woman, Nebuch, admits, after they wrote the parasha, she admits, Nebuch, I was Mizana, and therefore we don't make her drink. They don't erase it. So now they have a perfectly good parasha sota over here, and they wait till the next sota comes along, and they'll give it to the next sota. So the Tanakhama in this braisa says, you're not allowed to use, you can't go and take this Megillah sota that was written for this sota A, it was written for sota Sora, and then go and give it to sota Rivka. You're not allowed to do that. It has to be written for her. That's the opinion of the Tanakhama. However, Rav Achi bar Yoshia Omar, he disagrees. He says, no, if you want to, if there's another sota coming around. So you already wrote the parasha, you don't have to write it again. It lav davka has to be written lishmo for that specific sota. So let us say, this is the machlokis that we're saying Rav Yehuda and Rav Yaakov had in the opinion of Rav Meir, is actually this machlokis between the Tanakhama and Rav Achi bar Yoshia. So Gemara says, maybe not. Amar Papa Dumulohi. One could argue that that's not what they're arguing about. They're not the same machlokis as Rav Yaakov and Rabbi Yehuda within Rav Meir, but in fact, this Tanakhama and Rav Achi bar Yoshia arguing on the following. Ad kan lo kamar Tanakhama hotsom. Tanakhama said that you're not allowed to take the parsha of one sota for another sota. Elo kivan the intik lishum Rachel, since this parsha was written for Rachel specifically, that's why tulohadra mintigo lishum Leah. Only in this situation, when you specifically wrote it for Rachel, you can't use it for Leah. However, avogabi sefer Torah, the stoma michtava, but by sefer Torah, that wasn't written for sota, it was written for sefer Torah purposes. You know what? Hochinami demachkinod, you could use it. It's only maybe that the Tanakhama, according to Rapapa, says you can't use one Megillah Sota for another Sota is because it was specifically written L'shem this Sota. L'shem Rachel is what the Gemara says. Therefore, you can't use it for Leah. But if you had something written Stam, such as the Sefer Torah, maybe the Tanakhan would be Moda to Rav Achi by Yoshia that you could use it for another Sota. So Lav Davka, does this align with the Machlokas of Rav Yehuda and Rav Yaakov within the opinion of Rav Meir? Likewise, one could argue the following. No, again, we don't have to say this in Machlokas Tanoim. The Tanakama and Rav Achi B'Yosha don't necessarily align with the Machlokas of Rabbi Huda and Rabbi Yaakov, respectively, within the opinion of Rabbi Meir. Why not? Because Ad kan lo kama Rav Achi bar Yoshia ha'asam. The only reason why Rav Achi bar Yoshia said that you could use one Megillah for another Megillah, one Sota, it was written for this Sota, you can use it for that Sota, because it was at least written L'shem Sota. El di'ichtiv mi'as l'shum Sota bolim. It was written for the purposes of a Sota. So who cares? It was written for Rachel, you can use it for Leah. That doesn't make a difference. It was written L'shem Sota. But, you know what? A Sefer Torah, Avogabi Torah, a Sefer Torah wasn't written L'shem Sota. It was written the Islamic Siva. It was written to be learned from. It was written to be learned from. So maybe what? You know what? Hochanami, Dloma Chakina. He would say, in fact, I agree with you, Tanakama, you're not allowed to go and erase the Sefer Torah. So this machlok is between Rav Achi bar Yoshia and his Tanakama, both according to Rav Papa and according to Rav Nachum Yitzchak, Lav Davka parallels the two opinions within Rav Meir, the opinion of Rav Yehuda and Rav Yaakov. Nagmor says, the less Leila Rav Achi bar Yoshia, Hodanan, we just said a moment ago that Rav Achi bar Yoshia holds that maybe a Sefer Torah that is written for one person could be used for another person. So doesn't he hold from the following? What is this? So this is a Mishnah in Gittin. Kotsav get ligorishis isto. If a person wrote a get Nebuch for his wife, a man wants to divorce his wife, so Kosov gave the Gorsa Dishto, returned to the Yom Beis, and instead, Vinimlach, Umitzol ben Yirov Yomar, so this person changes his mind, and he finds somebody else. He just spent $100 on writing the get, so he doesn't want to lose that money. So he finds somebody that happens to have the exact same people involved who would also like to divorce his wife now. So let's put it into perspective. Reuven was going to divorce his wife. His wife was Rivka bas Sora, and he comes from New York. So he was going to write in the get. It was written in the get that Reuven, whose wife is Rivka bas Sara, is divorcing her, and they live in the city of New York. Umotzo ben Iro v'Amar. He finds another guy from New York, whose wife is the same name as his wife, and he has the same name as him. Shimcha kishmi. Your name is also Reuven. V'shem ishtecha kishem ishti. And your wife is also Rivka bas Sara. Now, you technically write the father's name. I should say Rivka bas Sara. I should say Rivka bas Avram. So, in any event, you write down the name over here. If your wife is exactly the same name as my wife, your name is exactly the same as my name. So, I'll give you this get. I just bought it for $100. So, give me $90 and it's yours. No, you can't do that. The Mishnah states, Pasul Garishpo. You're not allowed to go divorce the woman because a get has to be written Lishma, has to be written specifically for this woman. Even though they have the same names, it wasn't written for this woman. Now, therefore, how can you, Rav Achi bar Yoshia, say that this Megillah Sota, which was written for the first Sota, Rachel, can be used for the second Sota, Leah? By a get, you can't do this. So how can you do this by Sota? That's the question. Someone says, what are you talking about? Hachi Hashta? The two are not comparable. Awesome. In regards to the get, what does the pasuk say? It says v'kosav law and v'nasa law. You have to go write it for her. Law lishma, v'inu k'siv lishma. It has to be written kosav law lishma. It has to be written specifically for this woman. And even though another woman has the same name, husband has the same name, they come from the same city, you can't use it. It has to be kosav law lishma for her. However, in regards to the Sota, it doesn't say the Kosav law. What does it say by Sota? Hocha, in regards to a Sota, it says the Asa law ksiv, you shall do it for her. What does it mean, you shall do it for her? But in an Asiya lishma, the doing it has to be lishma. What is the doing by a Sota? It's not writing it. The doing is Asiya dida mechikahi. It means to erase it for her. So when you erase it, yes, once you have the water that's filled with the erased pasuk of Sota, now you want to give it to Rachel to drink, and she refuses to drink. She says, I'm guilty. Well, then you can't save it and say, well, we got it prepared for Leah. When Leah comes along, and we need to give her Sota waters, we'll give her this Sota water. No, that you can't do. The Asiya has to be Lishma, but the Asiya is not the same as the Ksiva. So by a get, you have to have Ksiva Lishma. By a Sota, you don't need Ksiva Lishma, because the pasuk doesn't say so. You just need Asiya Lishma, which is erasure. The erasure has to be Lishma, and therefore, that's why Rav Achi bar Yoshia is correct. Now the Gemara gives us a little bit of background more about Rav Meir, and we'll see the greatness of Rav Meir. This is a phenomenal Talmud Chacham. We can't imagine, we can't begin to imagine what a Tana is. And then to say the Tana Rav Meir, who is one of the greatest Tanoim, so we're just giving an inkling into how great they were. Amar Rav Acha b'Chanina says, Galui v'yodua lifnei misham v'yolom. It's clear and absolutely known to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the one who created the whole world, who said that the world should exist. She'ein bedorosh Rav Meir kamoso. The Rav Meir was the greatest Tana of his generation. Again, he's a Talmud Muvok, one of the great Talmidim, the five great Talmidim of Rabbi Akiva. After Rabbi Akiva lost all his Talmidim, so he recreated the whole world of Torah, and Rav Meir was one of those five Talmidim, maybe six according to one opinion. Rav Meir certainly was an unbelievably great Tana, and now Rav Acha b'Chanina is attesting that HaKadosh Baruch Hu recognized that he was the greatest Tana of his generation. No. Whenever we have a machlokas, Rav Yossi against Rav Meir, we posit like Rav Yossi. Rav Yehuda against Rav Meir, posit like Rav Yehuda, not like Rav Meir. All the other Tanoim against Rav Meir, we usually don't posit like Rav Meir. If he's the number one student in the class, he's the valedictorian of that class of Tanoim, so how come we never posit like him? Now, it's not true that we never posit like him. First of all, we always posit like Rav Meir when it comes to Sakanta. If Rav Meir says, Xeri, you better not do this, so then whether we understand him or not, we always follow Rav Meir because, as we'll see, he was so smart. So when it comes to a psak in Torah, if we don't understand them, we can't paskin like him. But when he says, don't do this, it's dangerous, so whether you understand it or not, you don't do it. So that's first of all, we paskin like Rav Meir when it comes to sakanta, anything dangerous. And Xera, then we paskin like Rav Meir. And second of all, stam mishnah k'Rav Meir. So certainly, we often paskin like Rav Meir. It's only when he has a machlokas with one of his colleagues, so then we somehow always paskin like the colleague rather than Rav Meir. How's that? If he's number one, why don't we paskin like him? Gemara says an amazing thing, that nobody could follow Rav Meir. He was so sharp, he was able to twist every argument and argue both sides of the argument and convincingly win both sides. He's like a debate team, right? Each team is given, one is pro, one is con. So, you know, the people that are pro, they prepare, and they try to argue the pro side, but they would have a trouble arguing the con side. Rav Meir could argue both sides. Tar, Tame. So he could say, I'll prove to you it's Tar. Yeah, he proved it. But then a minute later, he could say, no, I'll prove to you it's Tame. And he would prove to them that it was Tame. So he was so smart, they couldn't follow his reasoning, and therefore they ignored him. Shelo yochlu chaver lamod al sof daito. They couldn't follow him. Shu'omer al Tame Tar. Umar al opam. He would say that this thing, which clearly was Tame, he could prove to them that it was Tar. And he would prove to them, Umar al opam. He would show them that it was Tar, and you know, they couldn't argue with him. And then, likewise, Al-Tar, he would say something that was Tar, he would say, no, I'll prove to you that it's Tame, Umar al-Opanim. And he would show them how it's really proven that it was Tame. So therefore, he was so smart that they couldn't follow his train of thought. When you can't follow somebody's train of thought, it's very difficult to argue with them. So therefore, when it came to Psak Halacha, you have to understand Halacha. The Talmidei Chachamim have to be able to have a consensus and say, this is Halacha. But they couldn't follow his reasoning. That's how sharp he was. So therefore, we usually don't follow him, and we follow the majority that opinion, rather than following the opinion of Rav Meir. Mark Katina says, Tana, lo Rav Meir Shmo. His name wasn't even Rav Meir. He was known as Rav Meir because he was such a mayor. He was so bringing such light into the world. His name was Ella Rabbi Noroi Shmo. His name was Rabbi Noroi. The Lama Nikwa Shmo Rav Meir. Why was he given the appellation Rav Meir? Shu Meir Einei Chacham Malach. He was able to shine light and bring new thoughts and new ideas. He was so sharp to the eyes of the Chachamim. So he was really named Rav Noroi, and instead they called him Rav Meir. Then the Gemara says, the Brisa continues and says, Lo Noroi Shmo. His name wasn't really Rav Noroi either. Ella Rav Nechemi Shmo. His real name was Rav Nechemia. Why was he called Rav Noroi? Others say his name wasn't Rav Nechemia. It was Rav Elazar ben Arach Shmo. His name was Rav Elazar ben Arach. So why was he called Rabbi Noroi if that wasn't his name? Again, Shemanyer Einei Chacham Balocha. Again, this idea of lighting up, Meir, Noroi, are lashons of lighting up. He lit up the eyes of the Chachamim in regards to Halacha. Gargatina says, Amar Rabbi, the great Rabbi Danossi, the redactor of the Mishnah, is the Godel in his generation, the generation right after Rav Meir. So Amar Rabbi said, Hi, the Mechadu Dana Mechavroi. The reason why I am more sharp, right? Chodah, we just said, to be Mechadi the Talmidim. Why am I sharper than my other colleagues? So, the Chazite l'Rav Meir me'achore. I had the schus to go and see Rav Meir from behind. Now, I'm not sure what he means over here by this. I always understood this as meaning he saw Rav Meir late in his life, when Rav Meir was already a senior Rebbe towards the end of his life. So Rebbe was a younger Talmud in Rav Meir's class, and he only had a chance to see him, so to say, from behind. Some suggest that he didn't actually see his face. He sat behind him. They used to seat based upon your status. And when Rebbe was just starting out, he had a back seat, so to say, and he couldn't see Rav Meir's face. In any event, he only had an opportunity to see Rav Meir in his twilight years, or from behind, didn't actually see him. And Rebbe attributed how come he was sharper than his colleagues to at least he had the opportunity to see Rav Meir like that when they did not. And Rebbe said, he bemoaned, "Vilu chazite mekanei, if I had lived in the time when Rav Meir was in his prime, if I had seen him from the front, if I had been zocha to be one of his talmidei muvhakim and sit right in front of him and see his face, I would even be so much sharper." Dechsev, where did he get this from? Famous pasuk in Yeshaya. You should see a Rebbe. There's unbelievable things that you can get in addition to hearing somebody. That's when people listen to a tape. It's not as good as a live shear. I always tell people, a live shear is always better than a tape. Because when I'm giving a tape now, you can't see my expressions. You can't see my hand motions. Even if you watch it on a video, it's not the same thing as actually seeing the Rebbe, watching every single thing from the Rebbe. I'm not trying to tell people not to listen to the tape, but there is an advantage to a live shear. And therefore, Rav Meir was only able to transmit to Rebbe, according to Rebbe, in a suboptimal way. And Rebbe bemoaned, if only I'd been able to have the optimal way, I could have even been sharper. Rav Meir had a certain Talmud, the Sumchah Shmo. This is the famous Sumchah. We have the Rav Shas, is one of the Bali Plukta with the other Tanoim. Shai Omer, I'll call Dov of a Dov Shal Tumah. He would say about every single time there was something Tameh, Arba Ushmona Tameh Tumah. He would explain 48 reasons why this item was Tameh. I'll call Dov a Dov Shal Tara, and something was Paskim Tahar, so Arba Ushmona Tameh Tahar. He would explain 48 reasons why it was Paskim to be Tahar. Tano, we learned another brisa. Talmud Vasik of Yavne. There was a certain Talmud Chacham who was in the yeshiva of Yavne. Yavne was the academy where the Sanhedrin moved to on two occasions. During the end of the Bayi Sheni, the last 40 years, the Sanhedrin had to move about. So it had 10 trips. And one of the places it went to was Yavne, right? We have the famous story with the Beis Hamikdash destruction. Tainli Yavne v'chachamel. When Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai went to Vespasian and said, "Give me three things," so he was given three things. He said, "Tamei Yavne v'Chachamel," and this would continue the Masorah of Klai Yisrael. It was a critically important thing that he not wipe out the Chacham. In any event, Talmud Vasakoi b'Yavne. There was a certain Talmud who was in Yavne. Shoy Mataris Hasheretz b'Meya v'Chamishim Tomim. They were so smart. The Pilpul Torah in Yavne was so smart that even though the Torah says that the Sheretz is Tomei, this Talmud could come up with 150 reasons why a sheretz should not be tameh, why a sheretz, in fact, should be tar. So, the Talmidim were later generations sitting around. Amar Ravina, Ravina is towards the end of Shas. Amar Ravina, ani adavaterenu. I can also come up with arguments why we should make a sheretz, which the Torah says, of course, is tameh, why we could theoretically, through Svara, say that the sheretz should be tar. Why is that? He says, for example, uman nochosh, a snake. Shemaim is, it goes and kills many things and causes lots of tumah. But tumah smeis, it causes tumah of nevela. So it's marbe tumah by killing. Snakes kill people. And therefore it's marbe tumah. It causes an increase of tumah in the world. And nevertheless, a snake itself is not one of the shmona shratzim tar. A dead snake is not metame. Only the shmona shratzim that are listed in Parshas Shmini. We just read in Parshas Re. So the shmona shratzim, so they are going to be metame. Sheretz. So Nachash is not one of the Shrotzim, yet it's Marba Torah. But a regular Sheretz, Sheimeim is a Marba. A regular Sheretz does not cause a lot of Tumah in the world because a regular Sheretz, a rodent, right? A rat. A rat's one of the Shmona Shrotzim. It doesn't go and cause a tremendous amount of death in the world. They don't kill. Sheretz, Sheimeim is a Marba Tumah. A Sheretz which doesn't kill a lot of people, it's not Marba Tumah in the world. So if the snake is not Tomei, so lo kol shekein, so certainly the sheretz shouldn't be Tomei. So therefore, this through this Kal v'chomer, Ravina was saying, I could show you, from a logical point of view, that the sheretz shouldn't be Tomei. Nu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Gzeiras HaKasuv, that the sheretz should be Tomei. Gemara says, that's not good. Lohi, that's incorrect. Maisa kotz b'yama kovit. It's not like the snake really does something. The snake's a shaliach HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's like a thorn that goes and pricks somebody. So the snake goes and kills somebody. It's not that the snake is actually making Tomei in the world. The snake is a shliach HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu is what brings the tumah into the world, and therefore HaKadosh Baruch Hu decreed that a snake is not metameh and that a sheretz is metameh. But your Kal v'chomer isn't a good Kal v'chomer. Mark Atina says, I'm a Rabbi Abba Mishmuel. Rabbi Abba said in Mishmuel, Shalosh Shonim Nechluku Beisham Beis Hillel. For 3 years, there was a famous machlokus between Beisham Beis Hillel regarding the following. Halalu omrim malachim moseinu. And they Shammai said, we pass in like us. Halalu omrim malachim moseinu. And they all said, we pass like us. Didn't reconcile it for 3 years. And then famously, Yotzu Baskol v'yomra, a voice rang out from Shammayim, HaKosh Baruch Hu, so to say, Paskin, Eilu ve'elu d'ril kim chayim heim. Both of these are correct. Again, some suggest that in this time period, we follow Beis Hillel, and when Mashiach comes, we're going to follow Beis Shammai. That's one suggestion. Anyway, we can have the idea that two mutually contradictory opinions can both be correct. That's the unbelievable depth of Torah. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu rang out for Shammayim and said, both of them are correct. However, halachic Beis Hillel, we paskin, at least for now, like Beis Hillel. So that ended, so to say, the three-year argument as to who's right. Morris says, after HaKadosh Baruch Hu said that both are divrei Elokim Chayim, the word of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, how come HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, halachic Beis Hillel? Why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and in fact, that's the way based in Paskin, that we in fact follow the opinion of Beis Hillel with rare exceptions. So what was the schus of Beis Hillel that we ended up passing like them? So Gemara says, a fantastic idea. Mipnei shenochim va'aluvim hoyu. Because they were very nice to each other. And we have the famous rule, and they love him, ve'enon olvim. If somebody attacks you and you are calm and you don't fight back, that's aluvim, that you're a calm person. You don't look for machlokas. You don't get into machlokas. You let things slide. So since Beis Hillel was so nice, nochim ba'aluvim hoyu, v'shonin divreim v'divrei Beis Shammai, and they wouldn't only learn their own Torah. They would say, this is how we hold, but you know, our colleagues, our great Talmidei Chacham, Beis Shammai, they disagree with us, and this is why. And they would give their reasoning, and they would give their shittas, and not only give their own. Right? Today, Nebuch, sometimes we have the biggest fights because my Rebbe says this, and therefore I disparage your Rebbe. Who's your Rebbe? He's not my Rebbe. Right? So that's wrong. So Beis Hillel, Beis Shammai, they teach us the right way to have machlokas. That's why in Pirkei Avos it says, machlokas shem shemayim. The machlok is Beis Shammai Beis Hillel. So therefore, v'meishin nochim va'aluvim hoyu. They were so nice. That's why we pass it like Beis Hillel. The shonin divrei, the Beis Shammai. They would not only say their own shitas, they would also give equal time and equal explanation to Beis Shammai shita. And furthermore, Ela Shemak Demon divrei Beis Shammai livrei. They would first say always Beis Shammai. Whenever we have a machlokas, we always have the opinion of Beis Shammai first, and then we only say the opinion of Beis Hillel. Beis Shammai were the authors of the Gemara, and they always said Beis Shammai's opinion first. And this is, as we see, Kaosa Shishanin, we learned in the following Mishnah, Misha Yerosh of Ruba Sukkah. We had this the other day. If somebody's head and the majority of their body were inside the Sukkah, however, Vishulchano Besoch HaBayis, but the table they were eating from was in the house, so they'd have to lean forward into the Sukkah to make sure that the head and the majority of their body were able to fit into this very small Sukkah, but the table was not in the Sukkah. So the Mishnah quotes first the opinion of Beis Shammai. Beis Shammai posted. This was authored by Beis Hillel. So they first tell us the opinion of Beis Shammai. Our colleagues, Beis Shammai, they say that this sukkah is not a good sukkah because we're concerned that the person, while his head and most of his body could fit in the sukkah, it was a 7 tefach by 7 tefach sukkah, so it had the barest minimum size, but he may end up pulling his head back to eat over the table, and therefore it's no good. That's the opinion of Beis Shammai. Beis Hillel, Beis Hillel said it's a really good sukkah. Now, Om Beis Hillel, Beis Shammai, Beis Hillel said to Beis Shammai, I'll show you that we're right. Lo kach hayo hamaisa, wasn't the following actually what happened? Shahochu zikne Beis Shammai v'zikne Beis Hillel libaker, as Rabbi Yochanan ben Chorones, that one time Rabbi Yochanan ben Chorones was sitting in a very small sukkah, and he was visited on Yontif by the senior people in Beis Shammai and the senior people of Beis Hillel. They went to his house to visit him on sukkahs. Umetzoh yoshe b'rosh v'ruba v'sukkah v'shulchan v'sukkah b'ayis, and he was sitting in this very small sukkah, as I said, a minimum shear of 7 tefachim by 7 tefachim. And it was only fitting his head and most of his body in the sukkah, and the table was outside the sukkah. And Beis Hillel's point of view is, look, Beis Shammai's seniors were there, and they didn't say bo. So therefore, don't you agree that the halacha is that as long as your head and most of your body can fit in the sukkah, it's perfectly okay to eat in such a sukkah? So Amar Beis Shammai, Beis Shammai responded and said, really? Is that your raya? Im Yisham raya, if you're bringing me a raya from there, is that your proof? Is that how you're going to try to prove it's one that Beis Shammai didn't say anything? No, afein amrulo. At that point in time, you're not filling in the rest of the story. Beis Shammai said to Rav Yochanan ben Hachoronis, and they said to him, Im kach hayisah noeg, if this is in fact the way you're always sitting in such a sukkah, lo kiyamta mitzvah sukkah miyamecha, you've never fulfilled the mitzvah sukkah because this sukkah is too small and you can't fulfill the mitzvah sukkah even though your head and the majority of your body is able to fit in the sukkah, which is the minimum shear. But since your table is outside the sukkah, you are not allowed to sit in such a sukkah because of the gzeira that the rabbi said. You may come to not eat in the sukkah. So therefore, such a sukkah is no good. And if this is the only type of sukkah you've been eating in all your life, you've never been yotze. So notice over here that Beis Hillel mentioned the opinion of Beis Shammai first to prove the point that we made. Lamedcha. And why do they do this? Shekol ha-mashbil atzmo. Because if somebody is humble, somebody lowers himself, mashbil, shofel, he makes himself small, he lowers himself, he humbles himself, HaKadosh Baruch Hu magbio, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will make him high. If somebody tries to be the arrogant one, if somebody tries to put himself in the spotlight, so you know what? God says, I'll do the opposite. The way you act will be the way you get rewarded. If a person tries to run away from covered, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will be mechabed him. If a person is always looking for covered, Hashem will make it till he doesn't get covered. And that's what the Gemara continues to say. Somebody is always trying to be in a very, very top position. He always wants gedula, so gedula barachas imenu. Gedula will run away from him. He will never reach it. Somebody is running away from being lauded and given a claim. So then, HaKadosh Baruch Hu make it gedula machazeres achrav. So then, the things that he was trying to run away from, the kavod, the greatness, will run after him. Likewise, the chol adochek es hashoah, if somebody tries to push himself to be in a leadership position before his time, so shoah adochakko, so then it will never be, he won't be successful. However, chol anivcha mipnei shoah, if somebody's always trying to not push himself ahead, he lets time, so to say, bypass him, not HaKadosh Baruch Hu will make it, in that situation, chol anivcha mipnei shoah, shoah medeslo, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will make it, that he'll eventually get what he was trying not to get. This is the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu works. He repays a person exactly the way he acts. Famous story I once heard from a Rebbeim. There was a person who complained to his Rebbe. He says, Rebbe, I'm always running from covered, and yet covered never reaches me. The Gemara says that if you run away from covered, so then the covered will reach you. How come the covered never reaches me? So his Rebbe wisely responded to him. He said, The Gemara here is telling us if you run away from covered, but you can't keep on turning around and seeing if the covered is catching up to you. So he says, you really have to run away from covered. A person who is falsely humble, so then he's not going to be successful. A person has to truly strive not to be in the limelight. A person should strive just to do what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants rather than looking for the limelight. Finally, the Gemara concludes and says, Tanu Rabbanan. The following machlokas occurred for 2.5 years. Before, we just said that there was 3 years as to how we ended up paskening until the Basco came out. Although we see later on in the Gemara that we don't pasken from a Basco. The famous sheet of Rabbi Yeshua against Rabbi Eliezer says, Lo b'shamayimi. We discussed this as well. We'll discuss it again in Yitz Hashem later on. In any event, it says over here now that for 2.5 years, Beisil v'shamay had the following machlokas. Halol omrim noach lo yod mishol nivra. Mishinivra. So, one opinion was that it would be better that a person should never have been created, because all we can do in this world is not good. We don't pass the test of being in this world. So it's actually better that we haven't been created. That's Beishami's opinion. And Beisel said, no, it's good for a person to have been created than not being created, because even though we're going to make mistakes, but we have the chance in this world to go and do the bidding of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So they got together in Paskin, Nimnu v'gomru, so they actually Paskin Beis Shammai. Noach lo liyadim shol nivra yoser mishinivra. It's actually better for a person to have been not created, Noach lo liyadim shol nivra yoser mishinivra, better than be created. However, achshav shenivra, no, we weren't given a choice in the matter. A person's born into the world against his will, so to say. He has no choice in the matter. Once HaKadosh Baruch Hu decided not to follow that it's better not to have been created, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu created us, achshav shenivra, yafash veish b'maisav. A person has to go and look at his actions. Rashi explains, yafash veish b'maisav means she'osu kvar. Look at your past deeds, the yivdok averus shebiyodo, and go check out the averus that you have in your hand, v'yizvade, and do vidui, right? We're entering Chodesh Elul this week. So a person has to go and start looking in Chodesh Elul all year long, but especially in Chodesh Elul, a person has to start looking at his actions that he's done in the past and say, Taka, that was wrong. V'yizvade, and say, I'm sorry, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, this was wrong. That's the start of tshuva. The Rambam says the first step in tshuva is recognizing you did something wrong. V'yashav, and then you can do tshuva. This is the month of Elul. This is the month of tshuva that we're about to enter. So a person needs to really yafash v'shemaisav. Look at what you did. Others don't use the word yafash v'shemaisav. I mean, like, they use instead the lashon of yamashmesh b'maisav. What is that? So a person has to go. Rashi says, can go and embar mitzvah liyado. If a mitzvah opportunity comes to you, yechashev hefsid mitzvah kineged schara. Say, okay, granted, I have to do certain things over here, but look at the unbelievable schar I'm going to get. So I'm going to give up maybe doing an extra hour of work in order to go to the shir. So evaluating how much the shiur is worth. The shiur is worth at least an hour of work. So you're giving chashivas to this. And don't not do the mitzvah. Oh, an hour's work, make $100. Ooh, I better go to work because that $100 is more important than the shiur. No. Sharischa osid lovo. The real reward isn't the $100. It's the schar for learning that hour, for learning the daf yomi, for learning the mishnah yomi, the mishnah brura yomi, for all the things that we could learn. Likewise, if a sin comes to hands, you should think about Nebuch. Oh, this is going to be very pleasurable right now, but think of the world to come that I'm going to be paying for this. The poor men of Kosh Baruch Hu is going to take it back against me for the rest of my life. And therefore, either you fashish for myself, look at the past, or you mashmish for myself, look at the future. And this way, when we enter Chodesh Elul, we'll have the formula here for us to be successful in our tshuva. With this, we conclude today's shir.